Destruction of the World Trade Center. If there were no planes were there to do the damage, what did do the damage? Dust and destruction. Carpet of dust on the road, maybe ankle deep, and dust in the air in the background. Here. How were all the girders destroyed? You remember the picture earlier? Maybe I should have put it on this slide to make it clearer. 236 exterior steel columns. 47 interior steel columns. Steel, not concrete. Well, there was concrete as well, but there was steel. Toilets. Computers. Seen that picture on the left? Look at this one. Rubble pile from World Trade Center 1, essentially non-existent. The ambulance is parked at ground level in front of the World Trade Center there. Where's the buildings go? Two of them. 110-story buildings, folks. Where'd they go? Missing in action. Oh, they all went into the basements. Anyway, right, this is going back to the start. I've got another little video here. Professor Stephen E. Jones says it shakes and falls. In that little clip, I've got another video clip here. It's 70 stories unsupported, that thing you saw earlier on. You're going to see another clip of it now repeated. What do you think, folks? I'll leave you to make your own mind up. I've stressed the point several times.
I think it's important to quantify this statement and not accurate ultra-fine being such a occasion conversation. It gives the wrong impression. It's time for the community to get quantitative, Jim, and get data and to agree on published data and studies that actually measure these things. For instance, you mentioned this fire. So that I would like to talk about, this fire that appears.
You mean when the North Tower comes out?
Yes.
Of the spark?
It looks like it does fight. See, that's your term again. But in fact, if you look at another, Alex, in fact, brought up another video clip. And if you look at that, what happens is this fire, as it stands there for a few seconds, it is certainly covered with dust. Everything else is covered with dust. And it does shake. And there's a piece of it that starts to bend over in the other clip. You see it.
That's what happens.
Let me finish. You cut me off. That's not nice. That used to be built. Fire standing there for several seconds, and what you see is it shakes, and there's dust at this point, and then the metal starts to move. The metal portion here of this tower that was standing starts to fall. It doesn't justify, Jim. What happens is it shakes, and this is what I observe.
It shakes. Have you looked into the background of the spectrum dominant Star Wars development project? Have you looked into any of these high-tech weapons?
Well, I just read about it. I've not been involved in any of that.
Well, I mean, how do you utilize hypothesis if you've done
anything like that? I'm trying to establish basic data.
You want to claim that thermite survey did it. Well, maybe the directed energy weapon could have done it better and is more consistent with the evidence in its totality than your hypothesis.
But the explanandum has to cover the sulfidation, which I have not seen the Star Wars method even approach to explain. But we do.
An educated nuclear physics says that did not turn to dust. It shakes and falls. That's from an educated nuclear physicist. Another educated physicist, Dr. Greg Jenkins, says that all the debris from the towers went into the basements and it compressed itself into the basements. He wrote a paper. Now, in case you, I should perhaps just interject a little bit. There are two kind of camps in 9/11 research. Those based around Stephen E. Jones and his thermite theory, thermite, thermate, nanothermate, superthermate, and Dr. Wood's research, which I've been involved in on tangentially, and I'll come to that in a bit. No thermite, no real heat. Now, people say the debris went into the basements. Well, you can see there's some of the basements. Can you see the debris compacted down? Thousands of steel girders. So we've got, it went to China, that's one story. The second story is it went into the basements. I showed you the picture with the absence of debris with the World Trade Center 7 in the background. That's the basements. This is under the basements in the malls. These are the mall stores, some of them here. Any debris there? There's a few bits of cable, bits of, just small debris. No steel girders there that I can see. They're walking around in there. What happened to these? Toasted cars. Look at this. All wilted. All the metal's wilted. This tyre's gone. This one's intact. Where'd the engine block go? What's happened to the tyre? It's turned to goo. But there's some paintwork there, intact. What happened to this ambulance? What about this here? We'll come back to this shortly. What happened to it? That's thermite planted in the building, did that? Jet fuel? Gravity collapse? Pancake collapse? Did this? 1,400 of these vehicles, folks. 1,400. Only were told from work next to the World Trade. Well, we'll come back to that. Excuse me. It's this one here. Upside down. Upside down. How does a car turn upside down, everyone? Now, you can forget everything else I've told you. Anybody who does any 9/11 research has to answer my question of how that car turned upside down. Cars do not do that in nature. They do not do that from a pancake collapse. They do not do that because of plane crashes. Oh sure, somebody came along with a crane, tipped it, put a grabber on it, tipped it upside down. In the streets of New York on 9/11, think about it. Don't take my word for it. Think about it yourself. Oh, look at this. Either on 9/11 or soon after. This is a steel truck. Why is it rusty, folks? What's the rust doing there? Very rapid rusting. That's caused by kerosene, thermite. No way. Ah, what's going on here? Now this looks like, you just think, we knew the World Trade Center blew up and that's just the wreckage from it. Well, look carefully. This is what I mean about Judy Wood being a good observer. If you look carefully, you'll see soil, landfill even, all over this scene. Landfill. Why has somebody gone in and put soil on top of the debris, landfill or potting compost? What's going on? Here, look. This looks like it's landfill. Poured on top of the debris. Why would you do that? Why do you go into disaster scene? We've got pictures of, I haven't got them in this presentation, we've got pictures of this landfill dirt being trucked in. On top of the fire truck. How does soil and potting compost get on top of a fire truck? This is evidence, folks. Evidence. Look at the evidence. Here it is. You can say to me, Andrew, these pictures are fake, and I know it. Okay, tell me why they're fake. I want to have your reasons. This is actually on World Trade Center Building 7. Well, landfill. Why did they put landfill on top of the remains of World Trade Center 7? What's it doing there? That takes a physical effort when they should be rescuing people. Okay, directed energy weapons. Dr. Judy Wood said some type of energy destroyed the World Trade Center. So I've shown you a bit of evidence and there is more. So let's take it to those who know about directed energy weapons. Anyone ever heard of these? The Directed Energy Professional Society, DEPS, founded in 1999. They're all into making directed energy weapons. And you're going to see some more examples of this later, so I'm going to skip through this. Now then, what we find is, if you look at the contractors that help NIST is the National Institute for Standards and Technology, and they produced 10,000 pages of reports about the destruction of the World Trade Center. 10,000 pages. They didn't do it themselves. They used some contractors. And among those contractors was Applied Research Associates, Science Applications International Corporation, and Boeing. And they're all defence contractors, would you believe? NIST should have known that ARA, Applied Research Associates, is a significant manufacturer of directed energy weapons and all components thereof. Go and have a look on their website if you don't believe me. They don't hide it. ARA make directed energy weapons, and yet they were one of the people that helped compile the World Trade Center reports for NIST. Does that strike anyone as odd? Science Applications International Corporation. I first came across them in 2003 in relation to their involvement in black projects. They're given a lot of money by the US government. And Boeing, as a manufacturer of the ADL, the airborne laser, described as America's first directed energy weapon. It's not a conspiracy theory, this is fact. It's on their websites. They're proud of this. Okay, Norman Mineta, often cited as a 9/11 truther because he accused Cheney of refusing a shoot-down order on the Pentagon plane, hence implicating Cheney in letting the Pentagon attack happen. I think there's several books have got that in it. Here's his testimony.
I wanted to focus just a moment on the Presidential Emergency Operating Center. You were there for a good part of the day. I think you were there with the Vice President. And we had that order given, I think it was by the President, that authorized shooting down of commercial aircraft that were suspected to be controlled by terrorists. Were you there when that order was given?
No, I was not. I was made aware of it during the time that the airplane coming in to the Pentagon, there was a young man who would come in and say to the Vice President, the plane is 50 miles out, the plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the Vice President, do the orders still stand? And the Vice President turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
So he's kind of implicating Cheney in the cover-up, sort of. But, have a look. Prior to joining President Bush's administration, this is off the US government website, one of them, as Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Mineta served as US Secretary of Commerce under President Clinton. He was also, at a previous time, Vice President of Lockheed Martin Corporation, prior to joining the Commerce Department. Now, let's see if it's on this slide. There we go. And Lockheed Martin, they're one of the main contractors for the airborne laser. It's on their website. It's a directed energy weapon. Interesting, eh? And so we go on. Now, when Judy Wood had made this conclusion that some type of energy weapon was used to destroy the World Trade Center, which I'm going to come more on to, she was criticised a lot because a lot of people said, no, you can't be right because you can't say it was this type of laser or that type of laser. And Jim Fetzer was often saying, oh, it's got to be a maser or a plasmoid. No, Judy Wood said none of that. She didn't say it was a laser. She didn't say it was a space weapon. She said it was a directed energy weapon. And she wrote to this, I won't read it all out, but she wrote to the Kirtland Air Force Base Directed Energy Directorate. The Air Force does have a Directed Energy Directorate based at Kirtland Air Force Base, and she wrote to the head of it, Susan J. Thornton. She got a fax back from a guy called Rich Garcia. He's been in a few couple of documentaries, actually. He's like the spokesman for the Directed Energy Directorate. In that fax, in response to basically what Judy Wood did, she wrote to Kirtland Air Force Base and said, I think directed energy weapons were used to destroy the World Trade Center. Can you give me any more information? That's basically what she said. All this is on a website. This was the response, or part of it. You report phenomena that we cannot explain here, either because we don't have enough data or because the phenomena are not within our area of expertise. In other words, Kirtland AFB, Air Force Base, did not say Al-Qaeda done 9/11. They said the pictures that she'd sent them, they couldn't explain them. Now then, we wanted to put some of this information together last year and go on a radio program called We Ourselves. Ambrose Eilane, who's sort of become a friend of ours, this was in the States. Ambrose Eilane invited Dr. Judy Wood and me onto his show We Ourselves on the 27th of July to discuss this last year some of this evidence. In other words, the Mineta stuff, directed energy stuff, some of the things I've been showing you, not the plane stuff, but the pictures and so forth. And Ambrose had a large audience on the PowerXM channel. And we were suggesting that people like Markel Chertoff were talking up Al-Qaeda nukes as a cover for using Jew again. In other words, our theory at that time, and I still hold this as true, we've heard a lot of talk about Al-Qaeda nukes, you know, being shipped in and planted in various cities, and they've come out of Ukraine and Al-Qaeda have got them. A lot of people have said that the destruction at the World Trade Center looks like a nuclear bomb went off, and indeed it does in many respects. But there are lots of reasons why we know that a nuclear bomb didn't go off. But it was a nuclear process, I think. So Al-Qaeda was saying, Chertoff was saying Al-Qaeda were going to set off nukes. We wanted to point out that if they had this advanced weaponry, we knew not how it worked, they could use it to fake a nuclear attack and say that Al-Qaeda had set off a nuke when actually it wasn't, it was some type of energy weapon. Ambrose Lane was fired from his show on the day we were due to go on last year. He has still got another show, a local one in Washington DC, which I'll come to later. But he was fired. He was driving into his parking space apparently and was fired. I posted this information on the UK forum, and I will name this person. Tony Gosling said, "You've been fed duff information." He said that radio hosts get fired for discussing 9/11 all the time. So I asked Tony Gosling which other radio hosts have been fired for discussing 9/11, and I'm still waiting for an answer from him. Okay, so what do you do when you've got this evidence? Well, if you're convinced about your evidence, you'll go under oath for it. You'll take it to a court of law. And that's what Reynolds and Wood did. That's what they did. They took it to court. Steve Jones hasn't done this. I'll come back to that. And this is just a picture. It started off with a request for correction. This isn't a court action, but this laid the foundation for the court action, which I'll go into now. Wood and Reynolds submitted challenges to NIST under the Data Quality Act. I'll just briefly explain what that is. When we've got this evidence of the no planes that I've shown you, we put it all together into a legal document, you submit it to NIST and say, your reports are fraudulent because you say that planes can penetrate steel girders. We know that that's fraudulent because it breaks Newton's third law. And you say, the buildings collapsed. No, they didn't collapse, they turned to dust. Your report is fraudulent because you don't say the building turned to dust, which is what it did. That's essentially what Judy Wood was saying. She took 50 pages and put all the pictures in. I've got a copy of one of the documents at the back there. The RFC, Request for Correction. Steve Jones's group, Architects for Engineers and 9/11 Truth, or Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice, they also submitted an RFC. But it was after Judy Wood and Morgan Reynolds did it. And so this was last year, I don't want to read all that out, but basically the Keytown cases were unsealed. Morgan Reynolds in July 2007. You could then talk about the case because all the documents had been submitted and they were all been squared away. So Reynolds could say, I've now sued NIST contractors for fraud. September 2007, Judy Wood's Keytown case. I forget what Keytown means. It means something like against, for the people against the king or something. I forget what it means. She sued NIST contractors for fraud because they said they didn't find any evidence of directed energy weapons, whereas she did. And in June 2008, a few weeks ago, the judge has dismissed both these cases. I'm not going to go into this because we're still responding to this. But as an additional one by Ed Haas, it was also submitted at the same time, or nearly the same time. The judge, in his dismissal of these three cases, which one was about Building 7, one was about the lack of planes at the World Trade Center, and one was about the destruction of the World Trade Center with directed energy weapons. The judge dismissed all three cases with the same document. And in that document, he mentioned the moon landings and JFK in a judge's court document. He has no need to do that. And you can find all the details about this on the website. So in other words, the summary of this bit is, Wood and Reynolds have taken this court evidence, they've tried to get it into a court, and after about a year it's been dismissed, but there's more to tell you. And they mentioned moon landings in the dismissal, which, you know, has nothing to do with this. Now, Steve Jones's group, we're going to come more on to talk about this guy, because he's dangerous. He has not sued NEST for anyone, or anyone for fraud. He found, he was one of the kind of, well, it was actually Richard Gage founded this Architects for Engineers for 9/11 Truth. They haven't sued anyone. They submitted an RFC. The RFC submitted by James Gourley, which was for Steve Jones's group, on behalf of Bob McElvain, who's one of the family victims, who's in the family of one of the victims. Steve Nee Jones and others does not mention thermite or molten metal in their RFC. Why? In Judy Wood's document, she talks about directed energy all the way through it. Well, not all the way through it, but that is her summary. That is her conclusion. Steve Jones doesn't mention thermite or molten metal in his RFC, which is a legal document. But yet he talks about that publicly all the time. All the time. Why? So why hasn't he put thermite in his RFC? Why has he not sued them if he's got all this evidence that he claims to have? And now we'll go into a bit more detail on this guy. You've got to know about this guy. I don't like focusing on individual researchers. I'd rather look at the evidence. But I've got to make a serious exception in this case. So your mate, his mate, my mate, their mate. Jones denies fine powder pulverisation of WTC materials. You heard him say that this fire did not turn to dust, it shook and fell. No dust involved. So let's have a look. There's a short video here. Apologies to Justin Haywood here. This might crash at this point, so I might have to reset it, but we'll see how we go. Let's check the volume.
What I would emphasize is that we learned that with the evidence we can learn a great deal. So if there is an event in, gosh, I won't even name the city, let's just say an American city blamed on Iran, certainly there will be 9/11 truthers nearby.
Right.
And I hope they realize the importance of collecting a sample.
Right.
That's dust or...
And also the radiation detector, like a red radiation.
Right. Have a radiation detector handy if you've got one.
Right. And also
a Geiger. If you send me a sample, I'd be glad to look. Bill, I'm sure you would with your lab, so we could look. Yeah. So if there is such an event, the reason I'm emphasizing this is because it's a bit of a warning. If there are perpetrators thinking about another 9/11, they better think twice, because 9/11 truthers are out there. We're watching. We will get samples. We know what to do. Evidence-based studies we can do very quickly.
Yeah.
And we can put an end to lies on the next 9/11 if they're coming.
Yeah,
So he's suggesting that if there was a nuclear attack blamed on Al-Qaeda, 9/11 truthers should go out and collect dust samples in an irradiated zone with a radiation detector. This is an educated nuclear physicist who worked at Los Alamos National Laboratories for a time. It might have crashed. I'll just have to see if... Yeah, because it was... Oh, okay, maybe it's... I'm going to get away with it. Let's see. Right, so let's just fiddle with this a minute. I wasn't sure if that was going to...
So you're saying you don't want to see the sample I brought tonight?
Yeah. If you've got one, I'll have a look at it, but I'm not an expert who can comment on it greatly. Okay. Steve Jones and cold fusion. That's where we get into the energy issue. There's quite a bit about Steve Nee Jones in the late Dr. Eugene Mallow's book about the cold fusion cover-up. It's called... Fire from Ice. Get that back a bit, seems to run slightly out when I move the computer. A year 2000 documentary called Heavy Watergate, which is available on Google Video, has this about Steve Jones.
Since Pons and Fleischman were both well aware of the pitfalls of premature publicity, why would they bypass the accepted conventions of the peer review system and announce their discovery through the media?
I was thinking these guys are no fool. They know what they're doing. These are good scientists.
Prior to the 1989 announcement, Stephen E. Jones, a physics professor at nearby Brigham Young University, learned of Pons and Fleischman's work through an informant at the DOE. In a flagrant example of shameless opportunism, Jones insisted on going public quickly with his comparatively much less clear results. Disparaging the excess heat claims of Fleischman and Pons, Jones' announcement would have effectively prevented the two scientists from patenting their process, a process they had developed on their own over long years of research. On the advice of university attorneys, Hans and Fleischmann, feeling their backs to the wall, reluctantly delivered their work to public scrutiny.
So we've got, he's involved in energy. So we've got directed energy at the World Trade Center, cold fusion, Steve Jones. Mallard wrote this book from 1991, Fire from Ice. Very interesting book, I've read it. More difficult to get hold of a copy now, you can still get one in some places. It's got about 100 pages where Steve Jones is mentioned on them. And curiously, Mallard was murdered in May 2004. Steve Jones came on the 9/11 scene in September 2005. Now, as I say, I got involved with Steve Jones early on, you know, just through email more than anything. And a while ago, about a year ago, I noticed that Judy Wood had started using this photograph, and I knew I'd seen this somewhere before. And as part of my video work for Steve Jones, he'd sent me a PowerPoint presentation, much as the one I'm showing you now. And in that PowerPoint presentation was this photograph here. And in his presentation, he pointed out this here was a thermite reaction because it was white hot. What he didn't point out was that he doctored the picture. He changed the contrast levels in Photoshop or within the PowerPoint package itself, you can do it. You can barely see these flecks of light here. Here they're much stronger. Why would he do that? Misdirection, remember me mentioning that? He draws your attention to something. He's an educated nuclear physicist. He says it's thermite. You think, well, he's a physicist. He knows what he's talking about. So I believe him, that's thermite. Thermite took down the towers, case closed. Stop thinking. Perhaps it's time to consider 9/11 as part of the bigger picture. 9/11 wasn't the new Pearl Harbor, folks, as David Ray Griffin says. 9/11 was the new Hiroshima. This is what Judy Wood says. And I've got a disc back there with her presentation where she goes into a lot more of this detail. There's a lot more to show you, which I haven't got time for tonight. Now then, so what was the directed energy technology that we used? We were lambasted because we couldn't say what it was, despite the fact that people seemed happy for Steve Jones to say thermite did 9/11 and other explosives, but Steve Jones can't tell you what other explosives did, blew up the buildings. And his latest one is, would you believe it, paint on thermite. Paint on. It was painted on the steel girders, folks. He said that about 4 weeks ago, I've got the recording. Paint on thermite, that's his latest. So let's have a look here. I mentioned the fires, I said there were no fires. Well, what I meant to say is there were no hot fires. Why is this fireman walking through this burning material, paper? Why are these cars burning and all this paper's not burning here? This is John Hutchison, he's a Canadian, I'll tell you a bit more about John. John Hutchison. He's a Canadian scientist who's been doing experiments with field effects for 30 years. And he's able to generate levitation and changes in metal samples. And Judy first came across this. Judy Wood, I think it was probably well over a year ago. But she left it on one side as a possibility. But when we looked at the evidence from the World Trade Center that she had accumulated through the picture record, and we looked at some of the Hutchison effects, we saw a very close correspondence. A lot of people say John Hutchison is a fraud, and I've got a whole three booklet about that whole thing. I've spoken to John Hutchison on the telephone for 2.5 hours because I helped him write out an affidavit which we submitted as court evidence for the court cases that have now been dismissed. We're not currently sure what we're going to do with the court cases. But John Hutchison was prepared to submit an affidavit to the court, and he's got supporting documents that Los Alamos National Laboratories visited him. In fact, you'll hear Colonel John Alexander on one of those DVDs saying that he did visit John Alexander. So you can see these fires, an orangey colour, no smoke, no obvious fuel for these fires to burn. This is done with a combination of electric and magnetic fields that John is beaming at this sample area from his equipment. Old radio equipment and radar equipment and such.
Is that filming real time?
Yes. Yeah, it's about a minute long. Now, this is one of John's metal samples on the left here. I don't need to put any words. This is one of these samples from the World Trade Center wreckage. Pancake collapse, thermite. Steel girder turned into a horseshoe. Very strange. This is one of the other beams from the World Trade Center on the right-hand side. Look at these weird metal effects. You notice any similarities in the flaking and the bending of it? We think it's very similar. And it goes further. Oh, look. Yet another upside-down car. We've got at least five pictures of upside-down cars. We've got a couple of bits of video. We haven't actually collected all of the ones we can get. We've got enough now to know that there were plenty of cars upside down. This is one of John Hutchinson's experiments where he's beaming electrostatic and radio frequency and magnetic fields at his sample area with a Red Bull can. And watch what happens to it. And he's repeated this multiple times, and it's now been replicated as well. So we've got the fires, we've got the metal effects, levitation. I've got another clip, not on here, but it's on the DVD, of him levitating a 70-pound cannonball. 70-pound cannonball. He uses 400 watts of power. It's four light bulbs worth to levitate a 70-pound cannonball. This is a clip I showed you before. This is the result of one of his experiments on the left. I don't think I need to say any more. Metal effects. Aluminium. I'm pretty sure that that's aluminium on the ambulance as well in the skin of it. They could both be steel. I'm not 100% sure, but you can see the similarity of the flaredness and the flakiness and the burnt appearance, but it doesn't appear to be hot. No heat involved in these that I've showed you. Although it's a fire, it's a cool fire. We saw the picture of the rust. This is stainless steel on the left. It's been subjected to John's energy beams. Rust. Stainless steel rusting, folks. Ongoing effects. That's one of the key things. John switches off his equipment and the metal carries on changing for a while. And these samples have been tested at the Max Planck Institute. Here's a film I made. Let's try and get this to go. I was in New York. I went to New York in January this year with Judy Wood. The camera zoomed in too much, unfortunately. We spotted this strange fuming. It's like all this dust coming up when they were drilling. Really fine dust. We don't really know what that is. It doesn't seem to be too much dust for actually what they're doing. This was filmed from Burger King in the upstairs on Liberty Street. We'd been freezing outside trying to get a good shot, and we went up to get some something to eat, and we got a really good shot over Ground Zero. So what's all this sort of dust or smoke coming out of the ground? Very fine material. And this is the killer one for me. That is giving a good wash. Why? So why are they hosing that area down almost 7 years later? From fires, from a collapse, from burning thermite, which is just an incendiary? No. Some type of nuclear effect. Bankers Trust, not many people know about this building. Directly opposite the World Trade Center. Now you think the steel section hanging down has been blasted across by some type of explosion and caused all that damage here, down this gash. But if you look at this piece, it's pretty much intact. It's got a bit of damage there. So what caused all this damage here? Why is this sort of gouged out here? We've got a close-up of this. Look at this here. This is inside the World Trade Center, Bankers Trust. FEMA reported no fire in this building. There was no fire. But look at this beam here. It's got holes in it. How can that get crinkled like that? Can anyone say John Hutchinson's molten metal effect, which he generates with up to maximum of 4 kilowatts of power? Bankers Trust, soon after 9/11, 28th of July 2006, you can see it's pretty much repaired. They've sort of built across all these areas here. But then, why repair a building and then dismantling it? They're taking it down piece by piece now, after it's said to have had a mould infection. Mould infection on a steel frame building. Strange. Look at this. Central beam. Would anyone agree with me that there seems to be a large amount of rust compared to these other beams here? And this one, it's rusting. Brief sound clip here, see if I can get this one going. This is when we went in January, when I went to New York, we also went on to Ambrose Lane's show.
It's a minute long. Hosing down the cable from a crane with a big fire hose, and it wasn't just like a squirt, it was quite a big gush of water over a few tons of seconds.
And the cable was dangling from a big crane. It wasn't laying on the ground. It was just straight dangling.
Mm. So, what would be your comments on all of that, John?
Well, it seems that if that's what's going on there, it seems like there's some kind of infection of some type or something unusual happening there. Because Judy's walking around there and getting sort of sore throat. There's some kind of reaction or chemical reaction going on there.
Right, and Bankers Trust, as we know, had that big gash in the front, which they repaired, and then they started taking the building apart. Why would they repair it and take the building apart? And they're still working on taking the building apart while we're there. They probably have about half of it gone, it's about 20 stories left. But there's with the beams they replaced the damaged ones with, the missing, there's just a void that had been in the middle of the building. There's a tremendous amount of rust on those brand new beams that were used to replace the old ones with.
That's not good. That means there's a reaction in the steel or in the ground there that's causing that to happen. And when that starts to happen, especially with the contact with the welding and main bolt, that leads to structural failure.
Structural failure of the building. We've recently heard that they're still not going to start any construction at Ground Zero at the moment. 9/11 and the Hutchinson effect, we've done a study of this now. I've written 3 articles about all this that I'm putting up here now. We posted, Judy Wood posted this study early this year, about January, I forget the exact date. It might have even been, first day she posted it was, I think, Christmas Day last year. But we didn't really release it, or she didn't really release it until January. I think it's an ace in the hole because of the reaction we've had to this. Ace Baker may be a name familiar to some people in the audience. He'd done a study about sort of the plane fakery, quite a good study actually. And he was, we were friends with this guy essentially, and we exchanged quite a bit of email, quite a few emails with him. But 6 hours after we went on that radio show, I think it was the second appearance, may have been the first one, I'd have to go and check. He said that he'd bought some Tesla coils, which is what John Hutchison uses in his experiments. And he said he was going to try and reproduce these Hutchison effect experiments that John had done as part of the study of the Hutchison effect. Later he admitted that Ace himself had made a fake video. What he did was he did some of these supposed levitation experiments, and what he did was he filmed them upside down with a magnet. So he had something where he got a sample held with a magnet, he filmed it from the front, released the magnet hidden from the camera, and the sample dropped down, but then he flipped the video upside down so it looked like the thing had levitated. And he pretended that he'd made a Hutchison effect video, and therefore he claimed this was what John Hutchison had done to make the video like the CAM video, and there's others that we've got. And Baker said, in summary, that there's a lot of information, Hutchison is a video faker, pure and simple. There is no Hutchison effect, I'm sorry. Hutchison makes silly upside down videos. But Baker had not produced the levitation of the cannonball, which we've seen, the metal effects that I've shown you. We've got 500 pounds of metal samples from John Hutchison, where we've got this strange melting without heat. The fire effects that you saw with the boat, he hasn't reproduced those. And the bending and flexing motions, he'd not managed to reproduce those either. So he claimed to have debunked John Hutchison and proved 100% that it was a fraud, with only reproducing one effect with a video fakery.
So when did he finally admit that it was fake?
I'm sorry?
He admitted it was fake.
Initially, he pretended that he made this genuine video, and he sent it to us, and we didn't really comment because, I certainly wasn't sure whether it was a fake or not. But it was about a week later, after he'd initially said he'd performed these experiments, that he'd admitted that it was a fake video. So in other words, he'd deliberately done the fakery to debunk research which had been ongoing for 30 years. I've got all the details in these articles, so there's a lot of information. Now, Jim Fetzer, who is the founder of the Scholars Group, he wrote to me, I'd known about Hutchison's work, in fact, I'll tell you this here. Fetzer wrote to me when I'd said, I think the Hutchison effect was involved on 9/11, some version of it, because the evidence is too strong. Fetzer said to me in an email, you have taken for granted that Hutchison's research is well-founded or at least sincere. And this was incorrect because I had known of John Hutchison's work since 1998 or 1999. And having come across it in a book by Albert Budden, and also heard it discussed on a UK documentary called Billion Dollar Secret, which again is on the internet. And on the 3rd of March 2008, Fetzer wrote to Dr. Judy Wood, Judy, between us, if Judy were to back off her relations with Hutchison, whom I consider to be a fraud, I think her standing can be salvaged. What right has he got to say that? Scholars for 9/11 Truth isn't an official group. It doesn't have any official affiliation. It's voluntary. But yet, essentially, Fetzer is threatening Judy Wood's standing in 9/11 research because she has said that it looks, the effects of 9/11 at the World Trade Center look similar to Hutchison effects, and they appeared on the radio together. Whether she is willing to do that, I have no idea, but it's certainly an option is available to her. So Fetzer doesn't want her to talk about Hutchison effect, basically. Why not? Now, we've posted this on forums. Now, if you try and post stuff about the lack of planes at the World Trade Center or Hutchison effect stuff, directed energy research, this is typical of the response you often get, not universally, but almost universally, on any forum on the internet. This is a forum administrator called Jeff on rigorous intuition. I'm not budging on Wood and Reynolds. Call me a gatekeeper if you like, but it's my gate and I'm keeping it. And he closed the thread. Closed the thread when we tried to talk about these topics. Editor, a moderator on RINT forum, said of a post related to Judy Wood's Hurricane Arian study, which I'm coming to, move to bin. Judy Wood's and the rest of these truthers are on a different planet. I've seen them abusing forum after forum. If I catch any of them on here, they will be banned immediately. Internet, the forum of free speech. Look at the evidence. We're going to shut you down. Now, I've been having some interesting website visitors, and so this is a collation of Dr. Judy Wood's and my own website. Look who's been visiting. 33 visits from the Air Force, US Air Force. 18 visits from, this is in a short period of time, only in about 2 weeks. NASA 17 times. Somebody from NASA came onto my website and had a look at an article of mine, I think, for 20 minutes to get news about life on Mars. Believe it or not, because I've got an article about that. Because I'm lying to you about Mars as well, as some of you probably know. Totally lying. We've had Los Alamos been on. I've had Kinetic run this weekend again for 45 minutes looking at my website. That's the privatised arm of the UK Defence Research Agency. They were on my website 45 minutes this weekend, looking, starting off with the such and effect stuff. Lockheed Martin have been on, Raytheon, all kinds of people. All kinds of people have been on. Now, the next thing is one of the big things. Judy Wood tried to find out a bit more about this material. Now, if you look at these pictures here, she wanted to find out more about what the after effects were and what the material which came up from the ground. If you look at this smoke here. Now, if this is fires, these things wouldn't work because these are operated by hydraulics. So if there's a lot of hot fire going on under this, these things would seal up and stop working. These guys wouldn't be there. They'd be just fried and cooked, or at least too hot to work at the very least. There was no molten metal at ground zero. There was no molten metal. It's another fake story, I'm afraid, folks. So Judy wanted to look at this plume of material, and she pointed out here, very astutely, you can just see here, in fact, I think I've got a zooming up of this, I have. This dark smoke is going one direction, and look at this, this white-coloured smoke, it's making a sort of turn, 90-degree turn. So she was very interested in this sort of information. I would miss this sort of thing looking at pictures, as you know, I'm not particularly good at looking at pictures. She is, though. So the black fumes go west and the white fumes go south. Why is that? Well, we don't really know, but this is what brought us to this. So she's looking for more pictures. She's want to get more information about this smoke and what it's doing. What is it? Where's it coming from? Is it real smoke? That's what she found. This is a plume from the World Trade Center on 9/11. Look at this, folks. That's what she found. Anyone ever heard of Hurricane Erin on 9/11? How many, for a show of hands, who'd heard of, apart from the people already spoken about this with, how many people had heard of Hurricane Erin on 9/11?
I am totally amazed because I did disaster management and I, as one of my contacts, tracks hurricanes and everything else, and I have no inkling at all that the hurricane around the land, none at all. So it's completely perplexed me.
Here we go. 9/11 morning forecast. Well, we haven't got good information on this, but we have strong reason to believe that there was no mention of this hurricane on the standard US media weather forecasting. We've got rough seas shown there. And not shown on that one. It's about there. No hurricane shown on that 9/11 weather forecast. That's from space, 9/10. So Geo and Viz, that's from one of the satellites. I think it's probably a NOAA picture. That's from the 10th of September, the day before, obviously. Now, this isn't Erin, but this is what you'd see from the International Space Station. They're only about 100 miles or so. I think it's 120 miles or something. I can't remember the figure. Above the top of the hurricane. That's the sort of view you get of a hurricane from the International Space Station. But Frank Culberson, who was on the ISS on 9/11, this is what he had to say.
Long a staple of space missions took on new poignancy in mid-September when Culbertson and his crewmates viewed the plumes of smoke rising from New York City shortly after the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center.
As we went over Megan, we could see New York City and the smoke from the fires. Our prayers and thoughts go out to all the people there. I'm looking up and down the East Coast to see if I can see anything else. And to the people in Washington.
And Frank, that's an accurate assessment.
I hope that the people responsible are caught and brought to justice as soon as possible. But first, our prayers and condolences to all involved. And I just wanted the folks to know that their city's still looks good, and for New Yorkers, your city still looks great from up here.
I'll just see if I can get this sound clip going. It's just very brief of what he said. What did he say? What was it he said? Here we go, just to check.
Looking up and down the East Coast to see if I can see anything else.
Frank, you're looking up and down the East Coast to see if you can see anything else. No mention of that bloody great hurricane. How strange. Here's the path of Erin. Started around the first as a, you know, tropical storm. Went past Bermuda, there were a few reports of it from the Bermuda press and that area. And then I think it was CNN or something, I haven't got all the reports here, but you can go and look for them yourself if you wish. So no, it's not, nothing to worry about, it's going out to sea after Bermuda. Yeah, it's going out to sea alright, from Bermuda, but almost in a straight line. Straight up to New York City. Where it made a right-hand turn, folks. And it kind of slowed down. Slowed down when it got to near New York. And it was the strongest winds on the 10th and the largest extent on the 11th. This is just an animation that Judy put together. It's a couple of minutes long showing the track. It slowly becomes more organised. You can see it's very ragged at first. And then so there you have it. And that's just a comparison, the 10th, 11th and 12th of September. And you can see how the eye is kind of, on the 9th is quite well defined, a bit less well defined on the 11th, and then sort of tightened up a bit. So it's actually spun out a bit on the 11th, and then it's sort of tightened up again. Quite unusual behaviour. Comparison of some storm effects to some Hutchison effects. Dissimilar materials merge. How did this sheet of plywood get through the tree after, I think this was after all after Hurricane Andrew, I think both of these were. How did this piece of wood go through the trunk of the palm tree? We think it's got something to do with materials changing their properties. Just as John's experiments have made this metal knife merge into the aluminium block. It's a stainless steel knife, I believe, and an aluminium block. And then we've got these straws going into pieces of wood. Very strange. And again, how did this car... This is after a hurricane. Look at this fence. It's a wooden fence. How did this car get on top of the wooden fence? And it's not very badly damaged. We've got a few sort of scratches, but no major dents. Looks as if it's just been slowly fallen to rest on the fence, but it hasn't broken. This car's upside down. These two look relatively unharmed. That back window's come out, I think, but very strange. Why is the fence still vertical here? Or more or less, I think it's a little bit bowed there, but these are some more pictures from 9/11, two of which you've seen before, this one you haven't. This car's upside down. This is upside down. Leaves are all still on the trees, folks. So it can't have been a blast of wind, because leaves would have blown off the trees. Ah, now then. John Hutchison uses Tesla coils for his experiments. He doesn't use them as much now, but he has in the past. Now, one of the things that Judy noticed, because she's not an expert in any of this, she just looks for patterns and looks at data. And we think, basically, what they used... Well, you know, we don't say this explicitly because we can't... You know, we can't reproduce it experimentally, obviously. But if you look at what a hurricane or a storm cell looks like, it looks a bit like a Tesla coil. And it is indeed charged. You have a charge at the top and an opposite charge at the bottom on the ground. So we think this is what they used for the energy system. They used the hurricane as an energy system. That's the basic thrust of what we're suggesting. Now this is I think this is the killer. Hard data, folks. Judy found this magnetometer data. Now, a magnetometer, not surprisingly, is an instrument that measures the Earth's magnetic field. And there are a whole bunch of these units up in Alaska. And you can actually download the data from them today. You can go get the website and put it into a graph, as Judy's done here. And when you do that for 9/11, you see some very interesting things in the data. Oh, look. I'm going to zoom into this now. Let's look at the time scale here. 8:46, World Trade Center 1 gets a hole. World Trade Center 2 gets a hole, 9:02. World Trade Center 2 goes poof, in other words, turns to dust, 9:59. 10:28, World Trade Center 1 goes poof, and World Trade Center 7 goes poof, 5:20. Now you can see this magnetic field here is more or less flatlined. There's a bit of noise here, a little bit, maybe a bit of sunspot activity or something. But look at 9/11. And let's go a bit closer. There's a bit of a close-up for you, folks. So look at that. That's when World Trade Center 1 gets its hole. That orange line there, that faint orange line, is 9 o'clock. Does that look to you like it's a bit before 9 o'clock? So a plane crash, right, causes a disturbance in the Earth's magnetic field 3,500 miles away. Are you happy with that idea? Okay, fine. So you can see the magnetic field is severely disturbed during the events of 9/11, then it returns more or less to a normal level after 9/11. That's what the data says. It's not hearsay. It's not, you know, it's not about you know, put options and this type of thing. That's from what we got, four different instruments there, and there's more data to add to this that Judy's collected as well. She hasn't posted all of it yet, but there's more stuff on this which she's been looking at. So 9/11, folks. Black technology is what I call it. Stuff they don't tell you about. Stuff that's been maybe partly developed in reverse engineered extraterrestrial stuff. Stuff that they took from Hutchison in the 80s and developed into a weapon. And they covered it up with all this junk. Most people criticise Judy Wood for... they can't specify the exact type of GUs. Well, we've gone a bit further with that now. We say it's to do with the Hutchison effect. The weapon has certain characteristics because he leaves a fingerprint. The residual effects, bankers' trust building. So look at the things we've looked at. Coal fires, upside down cars, the bankers' trust building, residual effects, no construction on ground zero, magnetometer data, thermite, pancake collapse, doesn't explain the evidence. None of it does. Only this does. This is the only thing that explains the evidence. And if you want to find the truth, you have to look for the evidence and go out and look for it.
A lot of people talk about conspiracies over a shadow government. I'm willing to testify before Congress that these black operations do exist. I nearly became part of it. But I saw the light, I think. Or was. And I got out. And that's it. We have to disclose what we know. And I am going to testify before Congress under oath, or before any other organization, that what I witnessed was true.
Over recent years, it's been impossible for me to ignore this kind of barrage of publicity we've been hearing about unidentified flying objects or UFOs. So I've decided to embark on a journey to see if I can get to the core of what may or may not be going on. Now, the only real clue I have, given that most of the reports of UFOs, or at least a lot of them, come from America, is this document here, which is the annually published list of defense spending put out by the Pentagon. Inside this document is every single conceivable item of military equipment that America is likely to buy for its armed forces. But if you add up all the line items inside this budget book and you subtract their total from the annual published total of $250 billion that the Pentagon reports to Congress, you find that there's a mismatch of about $30 billion. Now, this is what we call the black budget, or America's billion-dollar secret, which is reserved for deeply classified programs. Now, I'm wondering whether inside this classified pot of money there may be some relationship between, say, deeply classified aircraft, which is something I know about, and what people commonly report as unidentified flying objects. So for the next 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to be crisscrossing.
That's basically what we have to say. The black budget, said to be as much as $1 trillion a year. I'll just play a bit of, I'll probably cut this clip off because we're getting short of time, but play a bit of this.
Good morning, my name is Carol Rosin. In 1974, after being a sixth grade school teacher, I was introduced to the late Dr. Wernher von Braun in the U.S., the father of rocketry. In my first meeting with him during that first 3.5 hours, he said to me, Carol, you will stop the weaponization of space. And I said, teachers don't stop until June. He said, no, you have to understand, this is February, and we have to prevent the weaponization of space because there is a lie being told to everyone that the weaponization of space is now first being based upon the evil empire, the Russians. There are many enemies, he said, against whom we're going to build this space-based weapon system, the first of whom was the Russians, which was existing at that time. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be third world countries, now we call them rogue nations or nations of concern. Then there would be asteroids. And then he would repeat to me over and over, and the last card, the last card, the last card would be the extraterrestrial threat. Well, at the time, I kind of laughed when he said asteroids, and when he said extraterrestrials, I knew I wasn't going to deal with that subject. And now we hear on the news just today, this week, that they've slid in another enemy. Only this time we're going to protect our satellites. In other words, we have to have some reason to spend these trillions, to waste these dollars on a space-based weapon system, and they're all lies.
Same city, different building. See if this is just. Okay. We stand at the beginning of a new age. Our government has in its hands a method of disrupting the molecular basis of matter, and its first impulse was to weaponize it. Is it so hard to understand, like splitting atoms create destruction was so hard to understand in 1945? Of course, this new invention came when the United States ruled supreme, a weapon system of vast new power comes online, and we didn't have an enemy worthy of using it, so we naturally use it on ourselves. That's from a guy called Steve Warren. I'm just going to go through some quickly through some conclusions. 9/11, multipurpose crime. Destroyed the aging World Trade Center buildings, big insurance payout, possibly. Asbestos problems solved, all that. Created the war on terror to keep people in fear, allowed support for illegal wars to be built and gotten, and more controversially, tested advanced black directed energy weapons technology, tested how easily people can be fooled. Now they know that directed energy works pretty well, this weapon, whatever it is, the gizmo as we sometimes call it. They can use it with impunity and wait and up the ante on the next false flag operation, which may involve aliens. Larry King Live in the States in the last couple of years has done about 6 programs on UFOs and extraterrestrials. In the years prior to that, he'd probably done, in about 10 years prior to that, he'd probably done 2 or 3. Right, so these are my conclusions for tonight. War on terror is fake. Gargantuan lies are being told by most, if not all, top level officials. The attacks on Iraq and Afghanistan are completely and utterly illegal and have no discernible basis other than as part of a covert agenda. It has nothing to do with spreading democracy or fighting terrorism. It's more to do with blood sacrifice, it would appear. 9/11 and 7/7 were psyops to dupe the public into accepting aggression against a framed enemy. And I've got a pair of nightmares here if anybody wants more information on that DVD. Advanced free energy technology is real. I mentioned that this energy which destroyed the World Trade Center, it appears to be no heat involved, or very little, very small amount of heat. No fire, no nuclear effects, ongoing effects. We think it's energy which is liberated from the zero point somehow, and this is what John Hutchison believes his experiments do. So the problem you see for the free energy community, that you've, some of you have heard about this, is yes, the powers that be have got free energy. They've known about it for a long time. In fact, they know a lot about it because they weaponized it and they used it on 9/11. That's what they did. Whoever controls the energy supply controls the human, the destiny of the human race in our current organized cultures, of course, that is. And I cannot ignore the links between the energy cover-up and 9/11 through Steve Jones. I did actually have another video of him, which I didn't show tonight because it was too long. I've got it on YouTube, though. What could we do with the due technology if we could use it for peaceful purposes? That's just a thought. Standard story of climate change is completely bogus. If you consider the occurrence of Hurricane Irene being closest to New York City on 9/11, and you ignore things like chemtrails, which we found a link between chemtrails and John Hutchison's stuff, we can say that weather modification is real and operational, and has been it for quite a long time. And we particularly gathered, Judy's gathered some more data about the Hurricane Erin now, which really locks it down even more than I've shown you tonight. This means that many or all of the environmental movements are operating on a false premise, well-meaning though they are. Climate change problems could possibly completely mitigate it by the careful and benign use of this technology. We don't know where it is, but I suspect some of it is in space, but I don't know that. Attempts at cover-up continue. I would strongly suggest that through people like Steve Jones and Jim Fetzer, who won't discuss any of this, Fetzer, who is a big 9/11 figure, hasn't even commented on the Erin study at all. We think it's a smoking gun of 9/11. It's something you cannot debunk. Cannot be debunked. Jim Fetzer has tried to cover this up. He threatened Judy Wood. He called me a child at the end of an exchange in which I was trying to ask him why he thought the Hutchison effect was invalid, when we had all this documentary evidence to say that it was valid. The danger for the powers that be is people are making connections between 9/11, energy, weather modification and other related issues. So, breaking the cover-up, who are you going to tell about this, folks? Another rhetorical question. Amnesty International? They won't comment on 9/11 at all. Liberty won't comment on 9/11. None of the politicians or political parties, as you know, have commented. Stop the War won't comment on it. Architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth won't talk about directed energy weapons. They won't talk about Erin. They're supposed to be a 9/11 Truth group. Steve Jones's group won't discuss this. They think that directed energy weapons have been debunked by Dr. Greg Jenkins and his study which says all the debris was in the basements. So what do you do? First thing, stop buying newspapers. Most people don't buy newspapers. Don't buy newspapers. If you can do so without creating conflict, don't renew your TV license. BBC tried to ask Judy Wood to be involved in this latest documentary. I sent the guy packing. I told Mike Rudin, unless he got news of the Key Tam cases on Radio 2 news bulletins for 24 hours, he was not going to get an interview with Judy Wood. He said he couldn't do it. Instead, you hear stories at the end of the news, which they have got time for, such as, you know, a dog swimming the channel or something. Somebody's dog swam the channel, but we're not going to tell you that NIST contractors have been sued for fraud over 9/11. Doesn't matter about all this stuff. They didn't have to go into that. The BBC should report that NIST have been sued over 9/11. You can take DVDs and booklets. There's not much time left, but I've got DVDs at the back. Take them away with you. Get more information on this. If you're interested, get clued up. Who else is going to fix the problem, folks? I've been writing for 5 years now. I've been writing to the BBC. They just say, oh, it's not important enough to broadcast. So that's basically it, and thank you very much for listening.
Dynamite. Sorry.
If there are any questions, obviously I'll try and answer them, but I know it's late, so thank you for sitting through it.
Can I ask a question, Andrew? All right. This is very technical. Right. My problem is, and I want you to agree, the further we go down this road here, this, looking at the technical aspect, you know, I feel that makes it the political difficulties of getting everybody on board that much harder. And you feel, you don't think that Fetzer and the other guys appreciate that, and that's probably the reason, especially the 89-11 troopers such as myself, architects and engineers, which I'm a member. You don't think that they feel, like if you want to get this thing progressed politically or mainstream, that this makes it more difficult?
No, I don't. I don't see what the difficulty is in explaining the technicality of a car being upside down or not. I don't see the difficulty in explaining whether steel is harder than aluminium. Those are my starting points now. I've heard these sorts of arguments for the last 2 years. To be called a child for looking at the Hutchison effect and saying, let's have a look at the documentary evidence, I've got a lot of information which I haven't had time to show you tonight. So I sort of appreciate that what you're basically doing is the 9/11 movement has been focused on put options, thermite, controlled demolition, etc. So a lot of people are going to be looking and say, "Oh my God, that's not right. We're going to look like idiots." That's, I think, why it was designed that way. It's called psychological operations. So I basically disagree with you, but I understand what you're saying because I used to think somewhat similarly. Justin.
Can I just inform people very quickly? Last week, if you remember, last time I was here, I made an appeal for David Icke standing in the Hull by-election. When David stood in that by-election, he was actually supporting David Davis because he thought genuinely David Davis was concerned about our civil liberties. Because David stood in that by-election, we have now discovered that David Davis is a complete utter fraud, that he was a scam and a sham. He had people from the neoconservatives supporting him. I won't bore you with all the details now, but what we're pointing out here is, just like in the case of what Andrew's been saying, they, the opposition, like to have their people in position to, if you like, kind of like a sponge. In other words, if the people, us, the capital, whatever you want to call it, are suddenly concerned about an issue, they will have their people in place to absorb our energy and say, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. Chakrabarti is in it up to there. Did you know the Home Office barrister? That lady is bad news for Liberty. Liberty for the day. I mean, we have really got the stuff on her and on David Davis. The point I'm trying to say is quite simply, they are trying to control all aspects of where we think we're making pressure. This is why it's so important to get this evidence out, because the 9/11 troop movement has been hijacked by those who are trying to control the situation so the news comes out in a particularly controlled way. We say, bugger them, we'll go our own way, we take us where the evidence comes. And as I said, what David Icke standing in Hull, it's been shown us now that those who are trying to protect our civil liberties are in fact acting against our civil liberties.
Question at the back.
Two weeks after the actual buildings were hit by the so-called plane, this is all said on Radio 4, that it was a rocket that hit the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And I knew instinctively it was the CIA and Mossad that organized it.
Yeah.
There's only four countries in the world that have got rockets to carry the payload. America, Britain, France and Russia. Do you think Russia's going to do it?
This is a global group. This is a global group. No, it's a global group that's doing this. Look at the chemtrailing. It's a worldwide problem. It's a global group that's doing this, and they've been around for a long time. This is a long-term agenda.
We're getting organised.
Yes. It's a nuclear reaction. The dirt that was shipped in is being used to... It's like changing diapers. That cannot be explained by any other process.
Would they say that was the damage?
They'll just say they're cleaning it up, it's just generally to get rid of the, you know, asbestos or something like that. That's the reason they would give.
You were on about diapers just then. This is what actually happened on the radio called in discussing the toxic gases from diapers. And they said, if anybody wants to listen to the 9/11 stuff, turn to Radio 5.
Wow.
That's true. I listened to that. I couldn't believe how childish they were on Radio 4.
Another question.
Are you familiar with the term parts of causation? Are you familiar with the term parts of causation? Part of causation. Right. Check it out. Part of causation, right, is that process. Judy Wood calls it justification. The military top brass call it part of causation. That is the system that you saw there. Part of causation. Now you know what it's called, you can check it out. There'll be other references now. You'll be able to reference onto that. In part of causation. I'll spell it for you now.
No, that's good. In a sentence, what
is it? Part of causation is the use of beam weapon technology to dissociate. Let me speak, because I'm a physicist, or I just like it, so let me speak.
I'm not a physicist. Carry on.
To dissociate the covalent and the covalent and ionic bonds, particularly the ionic bonds. Okay. Because matter lives in potential worlds, all right? And some types of bonding is where it shares electrons, and some types is where it wants to be attracted to the other nucleus, okay? Understand that? There's different types of bonding. What this does is basically shut down those covalent and ionic bonds. So it closes it off, switches it off. And it allows them for quantum mechanics to take over and you'll form justification.
Right, okay. I've heard about things like that. There are various theories which you'll hear about that. Molecular dissociation. We've got Dave Blimp's site which talks about molecular dissociation being caused by a nuclear explosion or a nuclear process. The problem, if you take that in isolation, is it doesn't explain all of the evidence. It does not explain the upside-down cars. It does not explain what's happened to the Bankers Trust building. All of those things tie up with the Hutchison effect. The problem for regular scientists is there are no peer-reviewed papers published on the Hutchison effect. So they deny its reality. Despite the fact, if I may just finish this point, that we have documents from Freedom of Information requests which show that Los Alamos National Laboratories investigated John Hutchison for 4 months, and even Colonel John Alexander says that this is what he did.
Can I just tell you now, I wrote Judy Woods in about 2006.
Lots of people have written to her, go on.
And they put her onto the Hutchison effect.
Right. Yeah.
So there's an email between me.
You can send me them if you want.
Yeah, between me and her. And I said to him, John Hutchison was raided sometime.
That's right.
They stole all his stuff because he was going to go to Germany. And he's quite a nice guy and it should be easy to approach.
He's on the DVD.
Yeah, it should be easy to approach. And I've emailed him. I emailed her to suggest that. I also emailed Fetzer and I got no response at all from Fetzer, where I did get some positive response from Judy Wood.
Thank you.
So I'd just like to put that on the record.
Great. Thank you. That's fantastic. This is one of the problems, is getting people to look at the information. They won't look at it. And send it to Richard Gage. If you're a member of AA for 9/11 Truth, send it to Richard Gage.
It's a different ball game than that. You've got to understand, they're not in it to do that. They're not in it to go there. That's for when you do the investigation, as far as they're concerned.
There's another question.
I think Richard Gage is going to be promoted. So he's new getting promoted by Annie.
Probably.
It's very hard to. It's like you mentioned Jeff Bell's rigorous intuition. I go on there and read and post. It's so many gatekeepers there.
Yes.
And if you actually, to be honest, if you look at the 9/11 site, it is just so many of them are joke. You mentioned no planes. You mentioned directed energy weapons. You mentioned other people who might be connected to 9/11, and whoosh, you're back. And even as I said, you know, your rigorous intuition.
It's only information, isn't it?
Why are so many people scared out there? And you can, and it's been told, you don't look there. And this is what, this is why 9/11 basically, the 9/11 UK site has literally destroyed itself and imploded. Because
correct.
People want to just contain it. You can look at 9/11, but you can't touch that area. That area, that area. We want, as I think the quote, a sanitized
acceptable to the
nation. Unity is better than truth, folks.
I think what you said at the beginning of your presentation was really important to remind us that look very carefully with somebody who the character is just being assassinated.
Yes.
Outright. And even though I know that and cerebrally intellectually, thank you for reminding me, because I do know it, but I need to be reminded.
Yes.
Because there's too much of this splitting of hairs and self-destruction. And,
yes.
You know, and this is what, from, I just want to say thanks to everything you've done, but what really wowed it for me was seeing those graphs from I mean,
oh, yeah.
If that's not right,
yeah.
Fucking face yeah. with the reality of
exactly.
good, hardcore scientific evidence, that was marvellous to see.
Well, I didn't find it. I can only pass credit on that fully to somebody else, so
well,
you know who that is.
Thank you.
Something about the UFO business, there could be some truth in that, because their intelligence is far, far better than the human beings, and they have the technology to beat the Americans anywhere in the world.
Well, I'll just mention one little point on that. A lot of people talk about alien invasion, and what about if the aliens have invaded already?
There's no smoke. It's just a smoke screen.
So they're walking on horses, blue
beams. They don't exist. It's just a complete smoke screen.
Yeah. What? Who does
it? The whole alien thing.
I disagree.
It doesn't exist. But I mean, the Nick Cook investigation that he did, it's our technology.
Gordon Cooper. Do you know Gordon Cooper?
No.
He's a Mercury astronaut. He was a Mercury astronaut, orbited the Earth 22 times. And he and his team filmed a flying saucer landing on the dry lake bed at Edwards Air Force Base in 1955. Why would he make that story up?
Yes.
Travis Walton, he was a forester with five friends, Snowflake, Arizona, 1975. And he saw a craft, the five of his mates saw this craft, he jumped out of the back of the truck, he went towards it. They saw a flash of light and drove off in a panic. They left him for dead. They went back to town. Travis Walton wasn't with them. Over the period of 5 days, they became suspects that they'd murdered him, and police started getting curious. Travis Walton turned up 5 days later at a gas station, told this story about being on the flying saucer and how these people apparently healed him because he'd been hit by this beam of energy. So, 100 stories like that. You know, with this whole different issue anyway. Can we have a 9/11 question? Sorry.
Oh,
with that
9/11 is about America and its power base. 112 years ago, a president stood up in Congress and publicly announced it is the right of the United States of America to benignly assimilate all cultures and countries on this world. Now, they will do it, and they have done it, if you're all wearing jeans. You're right, your coat, because you're murdered when you're rushed and want something to eat. If they can't do it to that, they'll kick your ass without this world weaponry. They are the fourth right. That's all they are, and the American people are sheeple. Because mums, pie, and yellow ribbon, and all this crap that they've been fed. I love them. I've been there twice, I think they're brilliant. One time I met to teach us some manners. We really could. But don't take all this. There is an agenda. It's been there for 112 years.
Least.
Announced in Congress. So, you know, let's look at this properly. There are a lot of things going on here, but you cannot change hardly anything out there, like this gentleman said. It's one hell of a fight and struggle. They're still trying to find out what happened at Roswell, for God's sake. That was 60 odd years ago. This is another 60 odd years, hence I will not be here. You will not change this. It's in your face, it's a cover up, and they know it and they're laughing at you. The only thing you're going to change this world is if you change your ideology inside about who you are. That's what 2012 is about. It's not about this. This is a crack that's going to keep you looking at it, and you're not looking at you. You are ultimately eternal being, consciously, not physically, but consciously. You can change this world, and you can do it overnight. Enough people, you don't need a large amount actually, enough people, they brought down that wall in Russia. I went to bed one night next morning, damn things down. Berlin. Wow, what happened there? Enough people got together with the same ideology, same thought,
and it carries a magnetic pulse, a frequency, and it spreads like wildfire. That's the only way you get to live in the world that you want to live in, if you want to live in it. But while you're looking at this, you're empowered. I'm not putting you down, I think you're doing fantastic work.
I understand what you're saying, but I think you have to be aware that there are alternatives. This proves that free energy is real. I mean, I know a lot of people in this room know that already, but the bad thing is that it shows that they know when it's been weaponized. That's what a lot of people won't, you know, don't want you to know.
They've got the technology. We haven't got any of that. And all the letters in the world don't make any difference. I'm sorry, it doesn't make any difference. The only difference
the only way you can get around this...
I'm a different area than you could sell. From my experiences, that are quite in each dimension of our society. That doesn't mean I'm wacko. Because they've been verified by witnesses all throughout my life. This stuff affects other people. What I'm saying is the ultimate aim is 2012. That is the ultimate aim for change.
Potentially, yes, I agree with you.
If it's going to come out, it'll come out after that day.
But we're talking about things going on different levels. This is a physical level. There is stuff going on a non-physical level, definitely, I agree with you. And I think there are ties into that. And so if you look at some of John Hutchinson's experiments, he's had entities manifesting in his experiments. For example, and they're coming from a non-physical dimension, so it does actually tie in, I think, at some level, but I didn't go into that.
But all I'm saying is, you take care of the physical, I'm trying to
watch it. It's physical and spiritual, I agree, totally.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Fantastic research, mate.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for your questions.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for sitting through it. Thank you very much. Thanks for that.
Well done.
Really good job, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Thanks for the...